At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two of our show. Craig and Joe here with you at 1 o'clock on the East. Thanks for making us part of the program today. We've got our headlines here for the second hour. Of course, we're closing in on the Super Bowl. Lots of coverage all week long. I think I've told you guys that all week here. So hopefully you take our advice and tune in Sunday from morning right through the big game. Let's get to our headlines here. LeBron James in his postgame last night said that he was very surprised about the All-Star game, didn't seem to think it was a good idea. I don't know if players can opt out of this thing. That is going to be super interesting. But they're planning on doing this March 7th, and who knows if it'll actually get done like every other sport. Celtics take on the Clippers tonight, 9 games in the NBA. Maryland against Penn State tonight, the only big matchup in the Power Five. North Carolina will take Duke on Saturday, always the biggest game on the college basketball schedule. And then Kansas City -3 in the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday, Joe. And certainly I know that a lot of people like doing those cross props between the NBA on Sunday and also the NFL. My great memories of watching Super Bowls are, of course, with family sitting around and watching the games. You mentioned doing those squares. I used to do that as well. And I always used to love waking up Sunday morning and watching all of the old Super Bowls back to back leading up until the current one. I don't know if you can still do that. I probably don't have
they
time.
They were on the other night. Listen, the other night, I don't know what was going on, but I saw them. They had the highlight. They were running them in order. I think it was on NFL Network. They were running them. And I just thought of you. I said, oh my goodness, Craig Mish. I hope he's watching this right now, but yeah, they actually did that. And I don't know if they're doing that on Super Bowl Sunday. Probably not. Maybe on Saturday, though. See, I think that's when you got to look for it, especially now with all the NFL honors things being quieter and everything going on with COVID. It wouldn't shock me if they brought that back, but I'm with you. And for me, in terms of Super Bowl memories, nothing gets better. Sorry, Atlanta Falcons fans, than that one. That was the best because my kids were a little bit older. They were able to enjoy it. We had some friends over and another big-time Patriots fan, buddy of mine. And another mutual friend of ours was over in his Giants hat. And literally at halftime, true story, we took his Giants hat from him, put it in my freezer and said, you can't have this back. I don't know why we put it in the freezer. We just did. We thought it was bad mojo. So we put his hat in the freezer and then the comeback happened. So you're welcome, everyone out there in New England Patriots Nation. It's because I did that. Clearly, Tom Brady had the greatest Super Bowl comeback of all time. So you're welcome.
All right, we've been doing Super Bowl props and not freezing any hats on this show, but let's take a look. I want to do one more here of on the Gatorade. I'm actually shocked that these are so easily available over on all of the FanDuel sites and everywhere else. Usually these were things that you had to do offshore and you couldn't even get in on these and bet $50, but I guess they're willing to take action on these, which is pretty incredible. Let's take a look at it. The odds to the color of the Gatorade shower on the winning coach. And I wonder, does this happen this year, by the way? Orange plus 125, red, pink plus 300. The clear one is plus 350. Yellow, green, lime plus 450. Blue is plus 750. And purple is plus 900. If my memory serves correct, in the last 5 years, we had one really weird one. I don't know if it was last year or the year before, but it was like a totally off color. I don't remember. Yeah, was it last year or the year before? I don't remember.
It was like Arctic Breeze or some crap like that. They've all got wacky names.
It was a long shot. Yeah,
it ferocious was like a 7-1, melon.
7-1.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I like
that.
The apple one. I'm a fan of the apple one.
Apple. Fierce. I didn't even know there was an apple. There's a fierce apple.
Like
why
a green apple.
Why does fruit have to be so aggressive? I don't understand. Why does the fruit have to be so aggressive? does it have to be ferocious this and fierce this and in your face lime? I mean, that's a little much. Can I just have I recognize the flavor. I get it. I know there's a lightning bolt on there. I get it. I'm going to go with the red because the Chiefs got to represent the team color, right? Don't you have to represent the team color with the red Gatorade?
I don't know if that's the way it works. I'm not sure. I don't think it is. I don't know.
I don't think it is either, but I'm just trying to throw something out there. The odds are decent.
Take a shot.
I'm going to go with some logic there because at the end, you want that still photo. See the still photo here? You want the red on Andy Reid, right? I mean, and who knows?
Yeah.
Could be red on the other side also. Red, you know what?
It's fair.
You had your bets with the team color. Look at me making something out of it's a silly prop. No such thing. The red Gatorade. Let's do it.
All right. I'll jump on board with you here for no reason other than to do it. So
that's right.
3-1.
Purple.
3-1 on the red.
What is that? Is that the grape? The purple?
I'm telling you, I think in the last few years, it was like a purple or a blue. It was a weird one. I don't know if it was last year or the year before. There definitely was. We were like, whoa, what's that? But are they allowed to do that this year with protocols and all that? People drinking out of the
Gatorade? Well, I mean, they're tackling each other, so why can't they throw Gatorade on somebody? I mean, throw it from 6 feet away, but I imagine you could still throw it on him, right? I mean,
it has it's a tradition. Every year. This would be a first. Have it not happen, but it very well
it's going to happen.
You think so? No, there's no odds on it not happening, which tells you it is.
It's true.
Okay, so let's set you up here for the rest of the show. We got Dr. Chow coming up. We figured it'd be a good idea to bring him back and talk about the latest in injuries. He has some concerns on the Chiefs offensive line, so he's going to detail those, who's in, who is out. That's coming up, so make sure you stay tuned to that. And then Jim Sannis is going to join us here on the show. FanDuel's got some great DFS contests coming up for the big game on Sunday, including a game where you pick four flexes and the Super Bowl MVP. And if the player wins the MVP, you get 2 times the points on that. And that's not something I've ever done before. So I'm thinking about diving into that. He'll give us some picks there. Also, he's got 2 props that he likes a lot to discuss. So stay tuned. And then we'll do a little fantasy reality in Sports Grid 60. That's your hour here with us, lunchtime here on Sports Grid and sportsgrid.com. Make sure you stay with us as we'll be back in just 2 minutes with Dr. David Chow, Pro Football Doc. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is Super Bowl week, and of course, what would the Super Bowl be without a preview of the injuries and the issues going on in the big game coming up this Sunday in Tampa Bay? Joining us, as he always does throughout the football season, is Dr. David Chow, at ProFootballDoc on Twitter. Catch his columns over on OutKick, as well as his podcast, as he breaks it down like nobody else. Dr. Chow, happy Super Bowl week to you. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Kind of a strange Super Bowl week. The last 5 or 6 years, I've been, Radio Row, in person, down there. Now, this pandemic, kind of, still in San Diego.
Yeah, let me tell you, some of my favorite moments were here in Miami and in Tampa and Atlanta, doing all of the Radio Rows, and certainly I wonder how that will change in the future, too, with that not happening this year. So, Dr. Chubb, I think if my understanding is correct, the teams are going to be arriving in Tampa Bay. Well, the Bucs are already there. So it's Kansas City arriving in Tampa Bay. Is it only 2 days before this year? I know it's usually the Sunday before the Super Bowl. Like, they have a week usually, and then all the media days. So when do you know when exactly that is this year?
I believe the Chiefs are arriving on Friday, and the Bucs, even though they're at home, I would expect will end up holding up at the team hotel for sure on Saturday, and probably by Friday as well, as part of an effort to keep them away and keep them focused on the game and on lockdown for, because at this point, if anyone tests positive for COVID, period, done. They are out for the Super Bowl, and no one wants that to happen.
No, for sure. And we heard on Monday about a couple of players through contact tracing on the Kansas City Chiefs. Any concern there?
Well, contact tracing, as long as they don't test positive, it's 5 days out. So if it was Monday, then they should clear in time for the Super Bowl, but they probably have to fly on separate planes from the team down to Tampa if it really is on Friday. And that obviously can be arranged. And it does seem like the close contact did not come from another player or a staff member or coach. It came from a barber. It's unclear whether the barber was in the facility, which is possible. Teams, you know, in the past have brought barbers in the facility, and you can name five people to bring into the facility. And perhaps they felt, you know, the players with the barber made sense because otherwise they'd go on their own to get it elsewhere. And that barber would be tested. And if that barber tests positive, then they do contact tracing like anything else. So, yeah, it's it seems to have been from a barber.
Very fascinating there. Dr. David Chow with us, as always. So, so injury-wise, there was one key injury, of course, on the side of the Chiefs in the AFC Championship. But beyond that, I know, Dr. Chow, you had mentioned throughout this process that of all the teams that started up the playoffs, maybe the Chiefs were the most banged up. Do you think that this extra week has put them on more of the healthy spot? And on the Tampa Bay side also, we can dive into them and what you see there.
Well, you know, what's unusual about this Super Bowl, the last five or six where I've been to Radio Row, there haven't been a lot of injuries to talk about. And it makes sense. The healthier teams typically move on. And it's not that the Bucs and the Chiefs are not healthy. They are healthy compared to the Eagles and the 49ers and the Cowboys. But compared to the Packers and the Bills, who they beat, they are a little less healthy. And the Chiefs still have concern. Yes, Patrick Mahomes says his toe is nearly 100%. I'm not sure that I buy that, but, you know, 85% Patrick Mahomes, still pretty good. He'll get it shot up, the carbon fiber plate, he'll play. Clyde Edwards-Helaire will get healthier. He probably can return to being the closest, the same back. Le'Veon Bell is questionable. Sammy Watkins is getting healthier with his calf. But the big issue for the Chiefs isn't Willie Gay on the defense, who had an e-scope for a meniscus tear, and he's out for the Super Bowl. It's Eric Fisher, who you just mentioned. He tore his Achilles. And a lot of people have now said in media that the Chiefs don't have either tackle, starting tackle. It goes deeper than that. If you go left to right, they're on a second string left tackle, a second string left guard, a starting center. The backup center is in the COVID close contact, a third string right guard, and a third string right tackle. And here's what happened. With the Eric Fisher loss, Mike Remmers, who was backing up Mitchell Schwartz, who was out since week six with a back, now flips to left tackle. So you have a new left tackle. And then the right guard, Andrew Wiley, who was playing in place of Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who opted out for COVID at the beginning of the year, slides to right tackle. And the right guard is now Stefan Wisniewski, long NFL career, a really good player, but at the end of his career now. And he was released by the Steelers in November and picked up by the Chiefs. So that's why, you know, it's LDT, Wiley, now Wisniewski. At right tackle, it was Mitchell Schwartz, Mike Remmers, now Andrew Wiley. And so the one Eric Fisher injury shuffled three positions. And, of course, left guard Kelechi Osemele has been out since the beginning of the season. And so, really, it's Austin Reeder, the center, that's the only consistency so far there right now from projected starters from the beginning of the season. So that's something to watch out for, especially with JPP and Shaq Barrett and a healthier Vita Vea.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow, that's a lot to unpack there with the offensive line. You know, of course, follow Dr. David Chow on Twitter at ProFootballDoc and his website, ProFootballDoc.com, breaking down all the positions. On the Tampa Bay side, Antonio Brown is the one name that we haven't heard in a couple of weeks in terms of playing. Kind of a shame there. Would have been a really fun story there. Beyond Brown, any other key injuries for Tampa Bay?
Well, you know, the key injuries to Tampa Bay besides Brown, the question is, you know, are they going to play Scotty Miller in the slot, insert Antonio Brown, his knee? He's trending towards playing, but it's the safeties that are the concern. Vita Vea came back and played pretty nicely, limited snaps, but will get stronger. And but the safeties, Anton Winfield Jr. with his ankle missed, he was close to playing. I think he'll make it. Jordan Whitehead is the big one. They've said his shoulder. There's some media word of labrum, but by video, I think he tore his left pec. And that's normally something that needs surgery. If not for the Super Bowl, I think his season would be over. I have the suspicion that the Bucs and Whitehead are seeing if he can play in the Super Bowl with a torn pec. Look, he's still going to be able to run in coverage at free safety. They're still going to be able to defense passes, knockdown passes. He still will be able to tackle, but maybe not wrap up with his left arm. He can shoulder people. So I think that's the big one and the big question mark for Tampa at this point in time. The two safeties, but especially the free safety.
So I guess the question for you, Dr. Chow, is that through 17 weeks of the NFL season, you're in your war room and you're watching all the games, and then the playoff comes, and then you're still doing that, but more on an individual game basis. With you not being at the Super Bowl this year, Dr. Chow, how are you going to watch the game coming up this Sunday?
Well, you know, we got a reasonable plan B. Once it goes down to one game, I'm able to watch it at home and freeze frame and rewind, and the staff is remote. It's when there's multiple games that we're in that war room. But this, I'm actually going to be in Las Vegas, a couple of different events and whatever. I figured, you know, we're going to be safe and socially distant, but a couple little things going on there, and it's a good place to watch. Believe it or not, I don't love being in person at the Super Bowl for this reason. The NFL is very kind. They've given me a press media pass, a quote, a free ticket to the game, and they feed right. You. It's great. The problem is I don't get replay. Like, I can't freeze frame and replay. I have to see it either on the field in live time or the TV screen in the press box. And of course, I bring binoculars. The advantage of watching at the game is I can scan the sidelines when the TV's going back to the field to see right. What trainers and doctors are doing. And so that's the upside. The downside is I don't have replay when I do that. And so, you know, this year I didn't even apply to go to Tampa. And I just didn't think it would be worth it.
I'm with you here. Yeah, for me, I've been to many Super Bowls as well. I've always felt the week leading up is always the most fun. The game itself, as I get older, Dr. Chow, you know, waiting an hour to get in and walking through the lines and waiting for the bus, you know, I guess I'm blessed, and of course so are you, covered the NFL for so many years. All right, Dr. Chow, we'll enjoy the game coming up on Sunday. Thank you once again all season long for coming on with us and breaking it all down, and we'll follow you on Twitter at ProFootballDoc and catch your injury reports over on ProFootballDoc.com. Thank you again.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. David Chow, as always, with us here on Fantasy Sports Today. We'll take a quick timeout. And more to come right here on the show. Our Super Bowl week of shows and props continue, so make sure you stay on the grid. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Make sure you stay right there. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today as we take a final look at the NFL season from a DFS perspective. But fear not, I'm going to drag Jim Sanis back for more action over on the NASCAR circuit in the coming weeks. We're not just going to let him get off that easy, although we'll give him a week off next week. But we're going to take a look at some props. We're going to take a look at the big game this weekend, single game over on FanDuel. So the rules are a little bit different. Jim will explain those to us and we'll go through some of the possibilities. Jim, happy Super Bowl week. What's going on?
Yeah, happy Super Bowl to you too, Craig. It's been a fun little time to have some time off here to think about this game. But now, back in the swing of things, really busy day to day, trying to, you know, jam in that last minute research, try to figure out where the edges may be from a playing time perspective. So I enjoyed last weekend having nothing to do, but I'm getting ready for this thing to finally get underway on Sunday.
All right. So before we do that, give me a brief explanation before we talk about the players of the game that people will be playing on Sunday. There could be people who are new to playing the Super Bowl over on FanDuel. I know it includes picking the MVP and also picking flexes. So could you give us a quick explanation there?
Yeah, so the way it works is your MVP slot gets a 1.5x multiplier. So let's say you use Patrick Mahomes as your MVP. He scores 20 points in the game. You would get 30 points for him at your MVP slot. It's just a 1.5x multiplier. The salary for Mahomes as an MVP is the exact same as his salary elsewhere. So basically, your goal with the MVP is to pick the player you think will be the highest scoring player in daily fantasy for that game. Doesn't matter their salary. Just pick the guy you think will be the highest scorer for that. The other four positions can be anyone. There's no defenses in the pool, but there are kickers. So you could put a kicker in there if you think that the Chiefs are going to win handedly. You know, Harrison Butker definitely does have appeal there. So kickers are in play, no defenses, the MVP, just the player you think will be the highest scorer for the game. You must have at least one player from both teams. So the heaviest you can be is four Chiefs, one Buck, or one Chief and $4. But either way, that's the way things break down. So pretty simple format, and I think it should be pretty easy to figure out if you are one of those people who is a first-time user.
Yeah, and it could very well be the case this week, and people have had a week off, as you mentioned, to think about it. Let's take a look at what the salaries are for this Sunday, and we'll do the main players, and then, Jim, of course, you can give us some good options there for outside of the MVP, some potential players to use. So we have Patrick Mahomes at 16,500. Of course, again, if he wins the MVP, you're gonna double up there. Tom Brady is 15,000. Travis Kelce, a tight end for the Chiefs, is 14,500. Tyreek Hill at 14,000. Leonard Fournette is 12,500. Chris Godwin is at 12. We have Mike Evans at 11.5, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire is at 10. And then, of course, there are some options beyond that, and I would love to get your thoughts specifically on who you're going to take in the MVP spot. And then beyond that, if you could help us with a couple of names to fill out the final five.
Yeah, for me, I think the MVP revolves around just four players. Those guys are the two quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and then Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. The reasoning for that is because quarterbacks always tend to be higher scoring. If you look at these two teams, Mahomes was the highest scoring Chief 11 out of 17 games this year. Brady was the highest scoring Buccaneer in 13 out of 19. So most often, the quarterback was the highest scoring player for both of these teams around 67% of the time. So about two-thirds of your lineups, you should have a quarterback in your MVP slot. I'd favor Mahomes there, but everyone else will do the exact same.
Right.
In that other third, I think you're going either Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce. Specifically, the spots where those two guys really did thrive this year was in higher scoring tight games. When the Chiefs won pretty handily or it was lower scoring, Mahomes tended to be the highest scoring player on the Chiefs. But when it was higher scoring and tight, which we'd expect the Super Bowl to be based on the spread and the total, there were a lot of games where Hill and Kelce did go off. I think specifically Travis Kelce, I am more interested in him than the public is. I think based on the way I've gotten the read on things thus far, he didn't go off against the Bucks in that first game. That was Tyreek Hill, which means that Hill will be more popular than usual. But Travis Kelce, just a guy who just produces. He's got a good ceiling, got a really good floor. So if I'm picking kind of a non-quarterback for my MVP slot, it's probably going to be Travis Kelce, just because I do think that he will be overlooked relative to where he should be. So that's my main focus at MVP, is those four specific players. As far as other guys, I do want to be in on Leonard Fournette more than others. He's $12,500. He is over-salaried, but that also means he might go overlooked because people don't want to pay $12,500 for him when they could go Chris Godwin or Mike Evans. I feel like Fournette has earned that top spot for the Buccaneers, so I do think he is a pretty enticing play at $12,500. Similar line of thought with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, over-salaried, but again, advantageous. He actually outsnapped Darrell Williams in the conference championship game. He had a lot of snaps out wide as a wide receiver. 19 total routes run for him, according to Pro Football Focus, compared to 12 for Darrell Williams. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire, a guy I want to be higher on. As far as the value plays go, I really like Cameron Brate. He is $7,000. He's had at least five targets in all three playoff games so far. He's had 149 total yards. And again, I don't expect him to be all that popular. The first time these two teams faced each other, we saw Rob Gronkowski get seven targets and Cameron Brate had six. Since then, we've seen the role for Cameron Braid expand. So they got a lot of usage the first time they faced the Chiefs. Cameron Braid's role is pretty good right now. He's just $7,000. If I want to jam in Mahomes, Brady, Hill, Kelsey, I've got to find value somewhere. And I think that getting Braid at $7,000, the role he has had, that's pretty tough for me to pass up, Craig.
Yeah, it's really interesting that you mentioned Braid, because I didn't see him as a factor at all this year. The last month or so, I'm starting to wonder again, like, maybe this guy is just good. I mean, he was good. He was playing ahead of O.J. Howard last year. He had a pretty good combination with Jameis Winston. And I don't know if Gronk is going to continue to play beyond this year. I think that that's anybody's guess at this point, but it does look like he probably could with Brady again. But Braid, whether he's with Tampa or somewhere else, has definitely emerged as a pretty solid tight end option. So, like all those options, basically a stars and scrubs approach, or in this case, all the stars and one scrub. Not that Braid is a scrub, but that's kind of the way that we view it there. So that's on the DFS side for those of you who were playing. But of course, if you're in a place that you could legally bet on sports, you could also go over to the FanDuel Sportsbook. And Jim, of course, is all over all the props this week, just like we have discussed. I think we've gone over probably like 100 to this point as we've gotten here on Friday. We'll have a show on Sunday again, breaking it all down as well. Let's talk about the props, Jim, that you have your eye on this weekend. And let's start off with the running back position. You mentioned Leonard Fournette on the DFS side. What do you think about his props and how they look on the wagering side for this weekend as well?
Yeah, there's actually a pretty heavy overlap here, because basically what I'm saying is I think I have a better read on the Bucs backfield than what the consensus has, because it's important to remember in the conference championship game that Ronald Jones got in a full practice on Friday. He was not in the injury report, but Leonard Fournette still ran ahead of him, still got a lot of carries, still got a lot of targets. He looked good too, which I think is valid, which means he should carry that role into the Super Bowl. So you look at the props for Leonard Fournette over at FanDuel Sportsbook. His rushing prop is 48.5 yards. We could see the Bucs go with a bit more run heavy here, because the Chiefs are definitely exploitable via the ground, and they probably just want to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field. Who can blame them? So I think that Fournette over 48.5 yards is an advantageous number at FanDuel Sportsbook. You can also bet him as an anytime touchdown scorer. The odds there, not too bad on Leonard Fournette. I think that plus 125, a fair number. He did get some good red zone work against the Packers. We saw Jones get more work against the Saints, but I think that Packers game is our most representative sample for this Bucs backfield, and we saw Fournette get good work there. So if you're looking for some Leonard Fournette props, trying to take advantage of the fact that people may not be convinced he is a lead back, I think the rushing yardage prop is my favorite, over 48.5 yards. But I also do like him as an anytime touchdown scorer, plus 125 at FanDuel Sportsbook.
You know, that's really interesting. And on top of that, it's like, look, you don't need, honestly, Jim, any extra motivation to be in a Super Bowl. And look, we could play it both ways. Todd Gurley was playing for his football life. He didn't even play in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. But the reality for Fournette is probably his last game with Tampa Bay. It's probably his biggest game of his life in the Super Bowl on Sunday. He's playing for a contract somewhere else, I would think, next year. So interesting there. I'm going to have to put that one in the back of my pocket before the weekend. Now, on the flip side here, Edwards-Helaire, Jim, as you know, in fantasy after week one, 4 months ago, it looked like budding superstar in the NFL. Hasn't been as much of that. You mentioned some of the playing time has increased, especially last week. As far as his props this weekend, give me your favorite one on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I think this one really boils down to the matchup, because the Buccaneers' rush defense is very, very good. And I don't want to take a rushing prop on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because I think that they will be effective there. But I want to go back to one thing we talked about with him as a DFS option, talked about his role in the passing game. Again, 19 routes run for Clyde Edwards-Helaire against the Buffalo Bills in the conference championship game, according to Pro Football Focus. He had 2 targets in that game. I am expecting Clyde Edwards-Helaire to have a bigger role on Sunday than he had 2 weeks ago, which means I think the over 18.5 on Clyde Edwards-Helaire's receiving yards is pretty enticing at FanDuel Sportsbook. I'd expect him to be pretty involved in the passing game here, because he is healthier now. He was actually questionable going into that game 2 weeks ago. And so it makes sense that he didn't have a full role, got subbed out for Darrell Williams, but now he has been a full practice, or a full go in practice so far. He was a full go on Wednesday once again. I'd expect him to be out there pretty often, specifically as a pass catcher for this Chiefs team. Again, 4 routes run out wide as a wide receiver against the Bills there. So 18 and a half is a pretty forgiving number. And with the way the Chiefs use their running backs creatively, I think there's a chance Edwards-Helaire could get over that number in one catch. So I do think that's a good number for him. So I'm just trying to exploit my read on these backfields. I think that I've got a good grasp on both teams being high on Fournette, high on Edwards-Helaire relative to where the markets are right now.
Yeah, I was going to say two catches, but you're right. One catch could get it done for sure. Great analysis there, Jim, and hopefully that will be cashing for you this coming Sunday. And as always, thank you for coming on the show. It's been a very fun football season. I'll drag you back in for other conversation for sure. And again, thank you for all the time that you spent with us going over the DFS side as well. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a blast all year long, and I would be very happy to come on again to talk whatever is on your mind. Baseball, too, you know, whatever you want to talk about, I'm here for sure.
Oh, that would be awesome. All right, Jim Sandis with us. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Sandis, his work at NumberFire. We'll take a quick timeout and be back with more as we're closing in on the Super Bowl here on Fantasy Sports Today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. Once again, don't forget, Sunday morning is your place to be as we get you ready for the Super Bowl right here on Sports Grid. Joe will be in the house very early. I believe it's 7 a.m., Joe, that you get up for that show? What time?
What time I get up for the show? I got to do my hair first, so that takes a while. So, yeah, it's a whole process of getting ready. You got to check in and stuff. But, no, we will be live 8 a.m. Eastern. Eric Young, 8 a.m. myself, and, of course, Matt Stryker, 8 to 10 Eastern. Mm-hmm. That's right. And followed by you and another Joe Ranieri. So it's going to be jam-packed. I mean, what a great weekend of football we have here. On Super Bowl Sunday. It's very exciting stuff. Who knows? Maybe we'll all be at the Super Bowl next year, as my grandmother would say. God willing, Craig. God willing, we'll all be here next year, and maybe we'll all be at the Super Bowl together. That would be nice.
That would be, for sure. All right, let's kick a little fantasy reality here as we close it out here on this Friday. We'll start off with the two, you would say, the greatest playing of all time. That's for sure right now. Mm-hmm. In the NBA, it's LeBron James, and in the NFL, it's Tom Brady. LeBron had a triple-double last night. Tom Brady's playing in the Super Bowl on Sunday. Fantasy or reality, old LeBron is better than older Brady. Oof. Tough one. Fantasy or reality.
This is complicated. This is like an SAT question, I feel like. I don't know if this is a multiple choice here. Look, Tom Brady's the GOAT. LeBron James, I love LeBron. I'm still a Michael Jordan guy. That's why I got the jersey up behind me. And it's not taking anything away from LeBron James. But I will say this. LeBron James is more dominant right now as a player than Tom Brady is. And I think that is undisputed. Tom Brady's not winning the MVP at 43 years old. LeBron James might be winning the MVP this year, right? So I think that when you're looking at these two sports, what both these guys are doing is off the charts. But I think to answer this question and say Tom Brady would be for him to be having the kind of season that Aaron Rodgers just came off of, right? Or that, you know, Patrick Mahomes just came off of 2 years ago. And that's not where Tom Brady's at. He's still great at what he does. He's still going to play in the Super Bowl. He might win another championship, which is staggering. But yeah. Watching LeBron these last few weeks, it just feels like he's still dominating on a daily basis. So I'm going to give it to LeBron here. So I'm going to say, yeah, old LeBron is better. So this is a reality. But, I mean, career-wise in their sport, I'm still going to put Brady ahead of LeBron in terms of the hierarchy too. And I know it's complicated. And the one thing that made me, you know, kind of sit back for a moment with this question is how come we don't have guys in baseball playing into their 40s and being dominant? You can see it in like basketball, their late 30s. Look at LeBron's doing. Look at what Brady's doing, Breeze, all these guys. Why is it that baseball, which is far less of a contact sport, what happens? Is it just the reflexes slow down? Isn't that kind of odd when you think about it?
Hey, Charlie Huff, I don't know. Pretty dominant.
Dominant? Still around. No, I mean, Randy Johnson got there. Jamie Moyer, he threw a whole 65 miles an hour, I think, when he was 41.
Julio Franco.
Hey, don't you ever say anything bad about Julio Franco. I love Julio Franco. He is great.
No, they're, I don't know. I guess maybe they've made enough money. I don't know the answer to it, but I'll say this. I think it's fantasy. I'm going to disagree. Okay. I think Brady playing at 45 and he's 5 years older or 7 years older than whatever LeBron is, I think that that's actually more impressive. But I will say that LeBron's been absolutely fantastic. And I think that we'll be having the same conversation about LeBron 5 years from now than we're having on Brady. It's going to be the same thing. LeBron's going to play. I've said it many times. I think LeBron is going to wait to play with his son in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's going to be unbelievable. We've never seen that before. I think there's a chance of that happening. Probably a better chance of Gore playing with his son unless Adam Gase is back again in the NFL. So I'm going to say fantasy. I'm going to say that Brady is still more impressive doing it at this age. And I think that if they win the Super Bowl Sunday, there'll be people agreeing with me on Monday. Maybe not, but we'll see. All right. Well, Matrix Mac is back at it again. Of course, this is the same guy that bet all those millions on the Houston Astros to win the World Series. And then, if I'm not mistaken, bet several millions after that, and pretty much everything else has lost since then. So he's back at it again. And some people believe that this is some sort of insurance policy. And regardless of what it is, it's a bet of over $3 million. And here is the reality of the situation. There are other people that are betting $1 million on the Super Bowl, and we don't even know their name. So I'll leave it at that. Fantasy reality, Matrix Mac is simply betting for attention.
Oh, I got to pick up this microphone that Craig Mist just dropped before I can even answer this question. My goodness. I thought we were done with this guy. We talked about this guy last year when this was just a radio show here, you and I. And I thought this was done. We wouldn't have to talk about this guy anymore. And the Astros weren't a thing anymore. And so he would go away. But no, Mattress Mac is back. And yeah, of course he's doing it just for the attention. I mean, come on, Mattress Mac. What are you going to talk about this guy? And look, it's working. That's what makes me so mad. It's actually working. Look at it. We're talking. We're giving 5 minutes of airtime to Mattress Mac and his $3 million bet. And it's frustrating to me. And I know you already know the same thing. And you're going to say, of course, he's just doing it for the attention. But I guess it's working. So do you think anybody gets up there in that Houston area and goes, you know what? I need a mattress. There's only one guy I can go to. It's the guy who wants to put $1 million on a Super Bowl bet or $1 million on a World Series bet. That's the guy I want to get my mattress from. I mean, I don't know, Craig. Do you think it actually moves the needle in sales? I can only argue it must, because why else would he still be doing it, right? We're talking about him free advertising on a big national network like we are. I don't know, Craig. This is very, very upsetting. Mattress Mac is still being discussed here on the program.
It's easy to go viral these days without spending $3 million, I think. I don't really understand this one. I understood the first one because if the Astros won the World Series, he was giving away all those mattresses. So basically he was just trying to hedge or do something there. This one is just doesn't make sense. You're right. This is a reality for the attention, but I don't get it. It's time for Mattress Mac to sell mattresses and to go away. I mean, this is ridiculous already here, unless there's something that I don't know about. But I would imagine when you make a bet this big, everybody knows about it. You've basically said, here's what I'm doing. Hello, IRS. Hello, everyone else. Look, here is the bet. So he did it in Mississippi, I guess, this time. I'm not sure where I was at. Biloxi, I think one of the same places. I guess they may have taken the bet. It is reality. He's doing it for attention. And I don't necessarily think it is working as much because it's old hat to a degree. Like, you do it once, people are like, okay, cool. Then you do it again, and people kind of get tired of you a little bit. But good luck to Mattress Mac. Hopefully he ends up picking up a big win for him and himself. And he got a mention here from Sports Grid. Congratulations. Well done.
Mattress Mac.
All right. Well, we end with this. This will be the final show that Joe and I are hosting together here on Sports Grid because of a couple different things. First and foremost, Joe is going to be leaving us. He's got another job and a fantastic job over with Fantasy Pros, which is going to preclude him from being able to host with me every single day. And it's obviously well understood. It's a fantastic job for him. And I could not be more proud and more happy for Joe. Sad for me because he's going to be able to move on to a great gig and, you know, being a single father and supporting a family. Gotta totally respect all the things that Joe is going to do. But it does, and the second reason is that we would have hosted next week together, except for I'm going to be off. So Joe is going to be holding the fort down for a week, and then Davis Maddock is going to step in the show and host with me moving forward, starting on February the 15th. But it does beg the question, because in a Favre-esque kind of way, Joe and I have always found a way to be hosting with each other here on either on satellite radio or here on Sports Grid. In fact, Joe hosted with me for almost a year and then was gone and then came back again and now is leaving again. And I'm still going to be here. Hold on. Yep, I'm still going to be here. I just got the word, so that's good.
Okay.
Fantasy or reality, Craig and Joe will host together again one day on Sports Grid. Joe, is this fantasy or reality?
Well, first off, thank you very much for the kind words. And you and I, people might not realize, we've been on again, off again together hosting shows since, oh, I don't know, like what, 2011 or something like that, probably somewhere in that range, I'm guessing. I think 2011, right? When did 6M start?
That's right.
Yeah, something like that. So, and again, all kinds of different shows, all kinds of different times, all kinds of different formats, places, everything. And I used to come on your radio show when you were in Miami on the Ticket. And all, like, we've been doing this forever. And somehow we always end up. So I just assume that it's a reality. Of course, I'm going to be back here. And I'm not leaving the network. I'm still going to be here on the weekends. I'm going to be doing Diamond Bets and Game Day. I'm still going to be filling in and stuff like that. And this picture is perfect because it totally sums up our relationship. If you throw that picture up again one more time, boys in the trucks there, you see me smirking and Craig being confused. This is it. This is our relationship in a nutshell. This picture is
a great picture of me. Thanks a lot. Holy cow.
It's quintessential. It's me going, and you going, what? What's wrong with this moron? And that's it. That's been us for the last. Well, look, it's been a decade, and like all marriages, at times we go through therapy. But unlike Jared Goff and Sean McVay, we come out the other end always. And that's the beautiful part about it. And I can't say enough good things over the years too, because I was very fresh to this radio business back in the day before it became the TV business here with you and me. And you were one of the first people that Craig Mish got me paid. Let's put it that way, folks. I'm just going to come out and say it. If it wasn't for Craig Mish, a lot of times he opened a lot of doors for me in this business. And that's something that I never forget. And we've been bouncing around for a decade, and I hope to bounce back here. Davis Maddock, tremendous. You are not going to find a better person to be working with in terms of fantasy stuff than Davis Maddock. A guy's brilliant. He has slightly better hair than me, not much, but slightly. And he's just a joy to work with. I got to work with him last year every Sunday. So anybody who doesn't know Davis's work, get to know him. Go follow him on Twitter. He's absolutely fantastic and so knowledgeable, works so hard. He's going to be a great fit with Craig. I can't wait to see actually what that ends up becoming relationship-wise, because you think I'm goofy. You ain't seen nothing yet till my buddy Davis gets in here, and he is absolutely fantastic. You're going to love him. And look, you know that Davis is going to take vacation, and you know who the guy is they're going to call up right away. It's going to be me, Joey P. I'm going to be back here sitting with you and making that face, and you're going to be making that face, and you're going to say, why did I miss this guy? I never should have missed this guy. This was a terrible idea. But I want to thank everybody to Greg and especially Mike as well. Mike Cordano and Greg Sussman there. You know, I've been working with this company here in different incarnations since 2016. And I'm still staying in here because I believe in what's going on here. I believe in Sports Grid. I believe in the people who are behind it. And it's a phenomenal place. And that's why I didn't want to leave altogether. And that's why I made sure that I kept my foot in the waters here with this great team of people, including Craig, and I want to bring Brett and, of course, James and everybody who works on the show here on a daily basis. It takes a lot of people to make this show work, and I do everything in my power to try to help facilitate that. And it's been a crazy journey between Craig and myself over these last decade, and it's not over. So I know the answer to this. It's reality. I don't know. Maybe you'll say fantasy. Maybe you're just done. Maybe you're hitting your decade. You get your gold watch with me, and you're out. Maybe. Maybe you could retire. You're already in Miami, so I don't know where you can retire to. But what do you say about this, Craig? Fantasy or reality?
Oh, it's just a reality. In fact, when you called me the other day and you told me, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll see you in a year or whatever.
I'll see you in a year.
Whatever you say. Okay, so what are we doing here for the next 6 months? Yeah, I mean, it's going to be reality. There'll be another entity somewhere, a podcast, or maybe even here on this show, and we'll be doing it again for sure. So I think very well said on your part. No doubt the gig that you got coming to you is very well deserved through all of the years of hard work. Nobody deserves it more than you. I mean, you put in all this time, both getting paid and unpaid, as you mentioned early on. And it's about time to get a reward of that kind. Believe me, I know the feeling. So congratulations to you, but you do not get to leave until after next Friday because
yes, I know.
Ironically, as I just mentioned, it's like when people when people see me not here next week, they're going to think you're the one and I'm gone. But it's actually the opposite.
Very confusing. Very confusing.
As Joe will be helping out next week, and then I'll be back on the 15th. But we're not even done yet. We got the Sports Grid 60, so make sure you stay tuned to that. And then we will say so long for today and tomorrow, and be right back here on Sunday morning. So more fantasy sports today is coming up next with the Sports Grid 60. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia. As always, we end the show with the Sports Grid 60. One final thought on the day. Let's turn it over to Joe for his. Joe?
I know some of you out there still don't think Tom Brady's the GOAT. You're still making excuses. And at this point, you just look crazy. Just stop it. Just stop it. Does he have the arm of Dan Marino? No. Does he have the legs of John Elway or Lamar Jackson? No. But you know what? He just wins. And you know what? Some people will also say to you, well, winning isn't everything. Really? Tell that to the rest of the athletes that winning isn't everything. Yes, getting paid is nice and all that. But the legend of Tom Brady continues to grow. And why? Because winning does matter. And nobody wins more than Tom Brady. And that's not hyperbole. That's just a fact. So Patrick Mahomes might be the guy who's going to take the torch and run with it. But don't dismiss the fact you are seeing history. You are never going to see this again in the NFL. I'm telling you, it's never going to happen. There will never be a player as insane as Tom Brady is for winning and willing to sacrifice what he is to win football games and championships. So enjoy this. I know even you Tom Brady haters out there, because you are seeing a legend in action.
And along the lines of the Super Bowl, I know FanDuel's probably going to hate me, but fair warning this weekend. It is easy to get caught up on all of these props. Don't I know? I'm right there. And here I am, right down the same road again, like I always am every year, getting ready to do a live stream. Let's go ahead and put some props together. Okay, I found one. I found two. I found three. I found four. I'm up to seven. Okay, gotta put a cap on it, folks, because it doesn't matter how much you love these props. You cannot win them all. Your goal should simply be find 5 or 10. I would advocate that. Try to win more than you lose. Because the most important thing on Super Bowl Sunday, if you're a football fan, is to note this. There is nothing worse than betting on 30 props and losing 18 of them and not being able to enjoy the Super Bowl. It's the last game of the year. Make sure you have fun doing it. That'll do it for the show. Of course, thank you to James at LTN. Thank you to our producers, Brett, Danny, and Ryan. For my co-host, Joe Pizzapia, yeah, wish you the best of luck, Joe, of course, at Fantasy Pros. I'm off all next week. I hope you guys have a great one. I'll be back on the 15th of February. Enjoy the game.